This is a special tape for the Sabbath before Pentecost. And what we're going to cover today is going to be a very interesting, informative, and also, I think, a great deal of new understanding concerning the firstborn and concerning the church, that is, those who will be in the first resurrection. Now, we know that the scriptures tell us that there's always the physical and then the spiritual. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15 and see where Paul mentions that in the resurrection chapter, that there is first the physical or the earthy, and then there is the spiritual. 1 Corinthians 15, and let's get it right here. And it also ties in with Adam, with the firstborn, with the old covenant, with the new covenant, and what that relates to concerning Pentecost, which is tomorrow. Verse 46, howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural or physical, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man, Adam, is of the earth earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And of course, then he was made a quickening spirit at the resurrection. Now, this is a combination of some things that I have brought out in relationship to Genesis 15, in relationship to what I brought out, do you rejoice with the enemies of Jesus Christ? And much of the information that I have here was passed on to me by Dwight Blevins, who also, between the time that I gave those things and now, he just sent this to me this week, has thought about the 14th Passover and the firstborn. But in order to understand the 14th Passover and the firstborn, we also have to understand how that relates to Pentecost. We also have to understand how that relates to what was done in the Old Covenant and then what is going to happen in the New Covenant. So let's begin. Let's first of all begin with Abraham. What we're going to do is see that there were a series of firstborn. Now, in going through this, let's understand, firstborn is not calculated from the father. Firstborn is calculated from the mother. When it is the firstborn of the father, such as with God the Father and Jesus Christ, it was his only begotten, or the first begotten. Then it refers to the father. But in this case, firstborn refers to the mother. Now, let's first of all begin with Abraham, who, when he was called Abram. In Genesis 11, in verse 27, we find out that Abram was the firstborn. So I want us to follow this carefully as we go all the way down through this, because there are an awful lot of parallels that we need to understand. These are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, Haran, and Haran begat Lot. So Abraham was the firstborn. Now, we know the promise that was given to Abraham in Genesis 15. Let's just stop there for just a minute and read that, Genesis 15, and verse 4 and 5. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, Genesis 15 and verse 4, saying, this shall not be your heir, that is, Eliezer of Damascus shall not be your heir, but he that comes forth from your own bowels shall be your heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward the heaven and tell the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now then, we also find something very important here, that the one, the child of promise, as we will see, let's go to Genesis 21 now, and we are going to see that Isaac was firstborn of Sarah. Not the firstborn of Abraham, but the firstborn of Sarah and the one to whom the promise was given. Now let's read that. Genesis 21 and verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he said to her, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. And Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time which God had spoken of. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare, called him Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. So Isaac was the firstborn. Now when we come to Jacob, we have a little break in the pattern, and we will see that that break in the pattern also happened to Aaron and Moses, but nevertheless not in quite the same way. Let's come to Genesis 25, and we find about Esau and Jacob. Now let's pick it up here in verse 19. These are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah for his wife. And the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, much the same circumstances as it was with Sarah. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If this be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in your womb, two manner of people shall be separated from your bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger." Now we find a case very similar to this, where the firstborn then of Jacob was Reuben. But Reuben lost his firstborn right because he went up on his father's bed. So then Joseph became, who was the firstborn of the second wife, he became the one to receive the promise of inheritance. Now it's very important to understand that the firstborn was to receive the promise of the inheritance. Now let's continue on. Let's come over to the book of Exodus. And let's see how this ties in the firstborn. And then we will tie that in with the 14th Passover and understand that very clearly. And then we will tie that in with the New Testament church as we go along. Now over here in the book of Exodus, we have in chapter 4, God's statement concerning Israel. Now God says concerning firstborn, he makes and designates firstborn in several instances for a particular purpose. Now let's pick it up here in verse 21, Exodus 4. And the Lord said to Moses, "When you go to return to Egypt, see that you do all the wonders before Pharaoh which I put in your hand. And I will harden his heart, and he will not let the people go. And you shall say unto Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn." Now he's talking about all of Israel in this particular case. All of the 13 tribes, because remember, the blessing that Jacob gave to Joseph's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, made them the same as the sons of Israel. So now we have 13 tribes, but the whole of Israel then was set aside as the firstborn of God as a nation. That's why when we come to Exodus 19, let's go there for just a minute and we'll come right back to Exodus 12. But Exodus 19, here's what God told Israel, the firstborn nation. Exodus 19. And he says in verse 5, now we're going to see a parallel here and a pattern, because this applied to Israel under the covenant with Israel. So then we're going to see that spiritually this will apply to the church. But there's some other things that have to take place relating to the firstborn and relating to Israel, and that is, we will see, relating to the church and Jesus Christ. Let's pick it up in verse 5. "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." And so God intended to use Israel as his firstborn for a special firstborn mission to go out into the world and make the world understand about God. They were to act as priests in a spiritual sense, leaders in economics, leaders in government, leaders in everything according to the pattern of God. And if Israel would have done what she should have done, then the whole course of history would have been entirely different. But you see, sin entered in and caused the problems. So Israel, as firstborn, has the firstborn mission of being a nation of priests and kings. Now, also we find that the blessing was given to Sarah that out of her would come kings and nations and so forth. Now let's come back and look at Moses and Aaron. Now we find a firstborn and a secondborn relationship here too. Now let's pick that up in chapter 6 and verse 20. Exodus 6 and verse 20 concerning Moses and Aaron. And Amram took Jochebed, his father's sister, to wife, and she bare him Aaron and Moses. And the years of the life of Amram were 137. Then it lists all the rest of them. Now, come over here to chapter 7 and verse 7, and we find out, let's go back to verse 6, Exodus 7 and verse 6. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so they did. And Moses was 80 years old, that is 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old when they spoke unto Pharaoh. So Aaron was the firstborn. Now that's very important when we understand about the priesthood. But also we find, just like with the firstborn of Reuben and Joseph, Joseph took the preeminence over Reuben, even though in this case Aaron did not disqualify himself from being firstborn. But we're going to see that Aaron's situation in relationship to the priesthood and the Levites and the firstborn becomes very profound for us to understand, and that in relationship to the 14th Passover. So Aaron was the firstborn. He was the one who was chosen as high priest. But Moses, the secondborn, was the one who had the direct contact with God. So we see that pattern also happen as we go through the New Testament and the Old Testament as well. Now, let's come over here to Exodus, the 12th chapter, and let's see about the Passover. And the Passover then fits very prominently into this. This is why, brethren, the 14th Passover, and keeping it the way that it should be kept according to the biblical instructions on the night of the 14th is very important and has a great deal to do with the Church of God and a great deal to do with those in the Church of the Firstborn, which the Church of God is called. Now, we'll see how that fits. Let's look at it here in Exodus, the 12th chapter, and let's see exactly what God said would happen here. Let's come over here. Let's come over here and see the command that was given. Okay? They were to take the lamb. They were to kill it selected on the 10th of the month, and we'll see that pattern when we come to the New Testament concerning Christ. They were to select it on the 10th of the first month. They were to kill it between the two evenings at the beginning of the 14th day of the first month. And they were to take the blood and put it on the signpost and on the lintel. Now, this was to spare the firstborn of Israel. Now, let's read it right here. Verse 11, the last sentence says, "It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. Against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord." Now, when God finishes something and emphasizes it with, "I am the Lord," or "thus saith the Lord," or "by myself I have sworn," We need to really pay attention because that's very emphatic in the way that God is saying. And in other words, God is basing this Passover on his very existence. He is the Lord, not any of the gods of Egypt. And so then God's day, God's way, God's time must always be considered in this. Now continuing verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are, and when I see it, I will pass over you. Meaning he would not smite the firstborn. That's very important for us to understand because we want to emphasize the firstborn. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now let's come over here to verse 21. Let's see some more of the instructions given. Now remember, Passover night, midnight on the 14th, is when God went through the land and killed all the firstborn of Egypt. And they have to have this special protection by taking the Passover on the 14th. God would pass over. So let's read the more detailed instructions here in verse 21 of Exodus 12. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw you out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip the blood, dip it into blood that is in the basin and sprinkle the lentil and the two side posts with the blood of the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. We know that means sunrise or dawn. And I will pass through and smite the Egyptians when I see the blood upon the lentil and upon the two side posts. The Lord will pass over the door, and he will not allow the destroyer to come unto your house to smite you. You shall observe this thing for an ordinance. Now, verse 23, shall come to pass, when you be come into the land which the Lord will give you according to the, as he has promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children will say unto you, what does this service mean? That you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped, and they went and did as God had commanded. Now then, something else happened. Something else was special. God did several things. Let's go to Let's go to the book of Numbers, chapter 3, and let's see what God did. On that Passover night, at midnight, something else happened. Let's see what that was. Numbers 3. Numbers 3, and let's pick it up here beginning in verse 11. It has to do with the firstborn, and it has to do with the priesthood. Now remember, Aaron was the firstborn, correct? Yes. Now let's see what happened with the rest of the Levites. Verse 11. The Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, and I, behold, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel, instead of all the firstborn that opens the matrix among the children of Israel. Therefore the Levites shall be mine. Now notice verse 13. Because all the firstborn are mine. Now, we're going to see when that occurred. And we're going to see something very interesting and also very profound as it relates to Jesus Christ as our Passover. Because all the firstborn are mine. Now, notice the next sentence. For on the day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me all the firstborn in Israel. He set them aside. Both man and beast, they shall be mine. I am the Lord. Now, how did God take care of that? Let's come over here to Numbers 3 and beginning in verse 41. Here's what they were to do. Not only did he protect all the firstborn of Israel, he hallowed them, but now something else was going to happen because the firstborn were to be redeemed. Hold your place here in Numbers 3, and let's go back to Exodus number 13. Exodus chapter 13, and let's see what God said concerning the firstborn right after the Passover, and he gave this on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, so they would have these instructions. Verse 1, the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever opens the womb among the children of Israel. So firstborn is reckoned from the mother. Both of man and of beast, it is mine. Now then, they were also to continue this when they went into the land. Verse 12. See that you set us apart unto the Lord all that opens a matrix and every firstling that comes of a beast, which you have, the male shall be the Lord's. Every firstling of an ass you shall redeem with a lamb. Now, this is also a type of later Christ redeeming those who were considered by Israel unclean people, that is, the Gentiles. And if you will not redeem it, you will break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among the children of Israel shall you redeem. Now, this is very important for us to understand because, brethren, we are the church of the firstborn, as we're going to see. And we are going to see that there is a great deal that we need to understand concerning Aaron and the firstborn, who himself was firstborn, and Jesus, who was firstborn, and those of us who are of the church of the firstborn. And all of this fits together. Let's continue right here in chapter 13. And it shall be, when your son asks you in the time to come, what is this? That is, the giving of the firstborn. That you will say to him, by the strength of the hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore, I sacrifice unto the Lord all that opens the matrix, being males, and all the firstborn of my children I redeem. Very important for us to realize and understand. I want to emphasize the firstborn are redeemed. Now then, let's understand something. Not all firstborn were males. The firstborn female, then, was dedicated to be used at the feasts. Now, there's something also very important that we need to understand concerning the firstborn in relationship to the Passover. From the first Passover thereon, no firstborn male was ever used for the Passover. Why? Because it was dedicated and taken and given to the priesthood and to the Levites. Therefore, with the domestic Passover, which it should always have been, they could not use a firstborn animal for the Passover, except when they were in the land of Egypt, when they could have used a firstborn at that time, because God had not yet set aside the firstborn. You see, we see that God set aside the firstborn, both man and beast, in Israel, the night that he passed over the firstborn of Israel. So there's a special blessing. There's a special thing that comes with the firstborn, both of man and of beast, under the old covenant. Now let's come here to Numbers chapter 3 again, verse 41, and let's see what God did. We're going to find some very interesting things concerning this, and how God did it, and what was done, and so forth. Let's pick it up here in verse 41. And you shall take the Levites unto me. No, let's go to verse 40 first. The Lord said unto Moses, number all the firstborn of the males of the children of Israel from a month upward, and take the number of the names. So they were counting all the firstborn in Israel. Now remember, God said, the firstborn of your children, being male, you shall redeem. All were dedicated to him. Okay, number of the firstborn, all male. Verse 41, and you shall take the Levites for me, I am the Lord, instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel. So what God did, he said, now number the firstborn among Israel, and then I'm going to take all the Levites who were not all firstborn, and I will count them as firstborn, being then the redemption of the firstborn in Israel. And what were they redeemed for and set aside for? For a holy purpose of ministering and serving God. Let's read on. Instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel and the cattle of the Levites, instead of the firstlings among the cattle of the children of Israel. And Moses numbered as the Lord had commanded all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and all the firstborn named males by number of names from 1 month old and upward. Those were numbered and were 22,213. So there were 22,213. Now then, the Lord spoke and said, take the Levites instead of all the firstborn from among the children of Israel, the cattle of the Levites instead of their cattle, and the Levites shall be mine. I am the Lord. And for those that are redeemed of the 23,013 of the children of Israel, which are more than the Levites. Because when they numbered the Levites, there were exactly 22,000 Levites. Now, all the firstborn in Israel were 22,200 and the 23,013. And you shall take 5 shekels apiece. Now, they were also to be redeemed. Now, since they couldn't be redeemed person for person, because you had a deficiency of the 273 altogether, the 273. So then they redeemed these with money and gave the money to the Levites. And you shall give the money wherewith the odd number of them is redeemed unto Aaron and to his sons. And Moses took the redemption money of those that were over and above the redeemed by the Levites. And of the firstborn of the children of Israel took he the money, 1,305 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. Now this also becomes important when we understand about Christ a little bit later on. So what do we have here? We have Aaron, who is the firstborn, who is the high priest. And through Aaron then, the whole Levitical system came. So the priesthood of Aaron being firstborn, then all of the Levites were counted as firstborn. Now let's see something very interesting here concerning this and how we carry this forward and how it works and the way that God wants it to be. Let's see the parallel now. All right. Let's come to Hebrews, the second chapter, and let's, seventh chapter rather, Hebrews 7, and let's look at the comparison between the priesthood of Aaron. And the priesthood of Aaron is very important for us to understand because it was a type of the priesthood of Christ. And we're going to see the parallels between the firstborn and the firstborn of the firstborn, as it was with Aaron, and then the firstborn of Christ being the firstborn of the firstborn in relationship to us, and what that will be. Okay, let's come here to Hebrews, the seventh chapter, and let's see that it was on the priesthood of Aaron that the whole Levitical system was given. And then we'll get our first glimpse at the difference between the priesthood of Christ after the order of Melchizedek and the priesthood of Aaron, the Levitical priesthood. Now, first of all, let's come here to chapter 7, and let's verse 5. For verily, they that were the sons of Levi, who received the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they came out of the loins of Abraham. And he whose descendant is not counted, that is, Melchizedek, the one who became Christ, received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises, and without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. In other words, the superior blesses the inferior. And here men that did receive tithes die, but there he receives them of whom it is witnessed that he lives forever. And as I may say so, in an analogy, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in his father's loin when he met Melchizedek. Therefore, if perfection were by the Levitical priesthood of the order of Aaron, that's what we are talking about here. For under it, the people received the law. What need was there further that another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek and not after the order of Aaron? Now, we're going to see some of that today. But let's understand that the whole Levitical system was based upon the order of Aaron. He was the firstborn. All the Levites then were used to redeem the firstborn of Israel and then the residual that was left over to take care of that. Now let's see another thing that's very important concerning the Levitical priesthood and something quite unusual. Let's go to Numbers 18. Numbers 18. This is very important for us to understand concerning the Levitical priesthood. Okay. The priests were to receive all of the firstlings. All right, let's read that here. Let's pick it up here in verse 8, Numbers 18. And the Lord spoke unto Aaron, Behold, I have also given you the charge of my heave offerings, of all the hallowed things of the children of Israel. Unto you I have given them by the reason of the anointing. Now, Aaron was anointed and ordained into the priesthood. And it was by calling, by choice of God, and it was not done with an oath. And that's, we're going to see, will be very important concerning Christ, concerning the order of Melchizedek, to show the greatness of the priesthood of Melchizedek. And then it was from by inheritance. And by reason of anointing to you and your sons by an ordinance forever. This shall be the most holy things reserved from the fire, every oblation and so forth, every sin offering and so forth. This shall be yours, verse 11, the heave offering. Verse 12, all the best of the oil, the best of the wine, of the wheat, the first fruits of them which shall offer unto the Lord, which I have given unto you, and whatsoever is first ripe in the land, which they shall bring unto the Lord, shall be yours, and every one that is clean in your house shall eat of it. So now we're blending into the first fruits, which then commemorates the feast of Pentecost and the meaning of that, and the first fruits of the land. Everything that is devoted in Israel shall be yours. Everything that opens the matrix in all flesh, which they bring unto the Lord, whether it be of man or beast, shall be yours. So it was the priest. The high priesthood of Aaron was to receive the dedication of all the males of the firstborn. Now we'll see something else. Nevertheless, the firstborn of man shall you surely redeem, and the firstborn of unclean beast you shall redeem. And those that are redeemed from 1 month old shall be redeemed according to your estimation for the money of 5 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, which is 20 gerah. And the firstling of the cow, the firstling of the sheep, the firstling of the goat shall you not redeem. They are holy. So you see, whenever there was a firstling of the sheep or the goats that was born, of a male, it was dedicated to the priesthood. Therefore, from the time of the first Passover in Egypt, no firstborn male was ever used again for a Passover offering. And I think we'll see that that's very important when it relates to Christ. We're going to see something else here as we go along. And he says, And you shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar, and you shall burn the fat upon for an offering made by fire for a sweet savor unto the Lord. And the flesh of them shall be yours as a wave beast, and as the right shoulder are yours. And all the heave offerings of the holy things which the children of Israel shall offer unto the Lord have I given unto you and your sons and your daughters with you by a statute forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord unto you and to your seed after you. And the Lord spoke unto Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in the land. Now we're going to see that is very important. There are two reasons why. The first reason is given here, and the second reason we'll understand in just a bit. You shall have no inheritance in the land. In other words, they were not given an area, geographical area, saying this was a, like we would call today, a state for the tribe of Levi. No, they were scattered in all of Israel, and there were Levitical cities. And they could own a house with some land, but they did not have a state which was designated as theirs. So they had no inheritance. Now we'll see that's important. He says, I am your part in your inheritance among the children of Israel. Behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. So that was their first compensation for lack of inheritance. They would receive all the tenth. But also we need to understand, as we read back in Hebrews the 7th chapter, that the priesthood of Aaron and the Levitical system were temporary. And the very fact that they did not have an inheritance was showing that their Levitical service was temporary until a certain point. And that's all explained in the book of Hebrews. So there are very important reasons why they didn't have that. Now remember the Levites, there were exactly 22,000 of them, which then became firstborn unto God instead of all the firstborn of the children of Israel. Number 22 is an interesting number. Because the way that things work out, it's very important for us to understand that numbers do fit in things in a very special way. First of all, number 22 indicates and shows the number of letters in the Hebrew alphabet, 22. Now also, 22 is 7 plus 7 plus 7 plus 1. Now, it's also interesting that when you have the plus 1, you go from 7 to 8, don't you? And as you're counting, you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then 1, which then is actually 8. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then 1, which is actually 8, and you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then 1. So you have a very important pattern which fits in. And that relates to, as we will see a little later, Jesus Christ. Now let's look at another pattern concerning 7 and 1 as it relates to Pentecost. What do you have? You have 7 weeks, and each week has 7 days. So you have 7 plus 7 plus 7 plus 7 all the way up to 49 plus 1, making 50. And 50 then is the day of Pentecost. Now also we have something that's very important concerning the New Testament and how that is put together. So let's understand that. First of all, in the Greek language there are 24 letters in the alphabet. And 24 is 8 plus 8 plus 8. Now, the name of Jesus Christ, one of his names, is the Word. So then 8 plus 8 plus 8 equals 24, the number of letters of the Greek alphabet, and Christ is called the Word. So that fits in with that. Now when you add the number of books in the Old Testament with the number of books in the New Testament, you come up with something also very important. First of all, there were to be 22 books in the Old Testament. Now, they've made a few more books out of it by separating out Kings and Chronicles and certain of the other books. There were to be 22. In the New Testament, there are 27 books. You add those together and you have 49. So you also have a pattern of 49, just like with Pentecost. You have 49 plus 1 is 50. We also have the 22 and 27 equals 49. But where does number 50 come in? Now we have also concerning that the first and the last. Jesus is called the first and the last. Let's go to the Book of Revelation and see that. Book of Revelation, chapter 1, where Jesus talks about being the first and the last. And what is the first? 1. What is the last? 8. And we find this beginning in Revelation, the first chapter, and verse 8. Let's read it there. Revelation 1, and let's pick it up here in verse 8. Where Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, says the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Now, we come down here to verse 11, and it says, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what you see write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamos and all the rest of them. Then we come down here to verse 18, and we see, I am he that lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive evermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. So Christ now is alive evermore, the first and the last, 1 and 8. So that also ties in with Pentecost. But how does it tie in with the books of the Bible? What book do you suppose is the 50th book? Now, it's mentioned in the Bible, but it's not contained in the Bible. Now, I'll come back and answer that a little bit later.